It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I cover them. I do all I can with them. Mentally, I'm an athlete. I understand what's going on the athletic field, but physically, I'm just a guy, and that's why we call myself the half athlete. Joining me in studio is the only athlete left on staff here at Half Athlete Radio. He is a former tight end for the POU football program. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Christian. As I was just telling you, I won in Madden today, which is a big deal for me. Life is always good when you win Madden. I'm a big-time gamer, especially when it comes to Madden. And so, you know what? Feeling good, feeling rejuvenated. Ready to do a great show today.
It's always important to get the win when you're playing a game of Madden. Also joining us in studio, he's our new co-host. His name is Seth Bershing. Seth, how have you been?
Pretty good, Christian. I'm happy to be here, excited for another show, although it does feel a little bit odd being here at 4 in the afternoon instead of 8 a.m. on Wednesdays.
It's super different, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel definitely like more awake right now.
Well, yeah, I would hope so.
It's a completely different dynamic.
That's obvious, but...
Yeah, no, it's different.
Yeah.
It's kind of, with Thanksgiving coming up this weekend, no one wanted to be here on Wednesday, so we made the executive decision. We found an open time slot.
Does anybody want to be here at all? I mean, this week for school?
Yeah.
Class-wise. Not this show. This show is great, but class-wise.
Class-wise? No, dude. No. I don't want to be here on Monday.
Yeah.
Seth, have you finished strong? Or have you bowed out this semester? What are you? Be honest.
I'm probably slacking a little bit.
Ooh.
I had to get up at 7 a.m. yesterday.
Dang.
And spend 5 hours trying to crank out the rest of a paper. Ooh. That was due at noon.
Oh,
Christian,
I did get it done though.
Well, Christian, how are you?
How am I? I am Seth. I'm stuck on this Seth thing. You waited till the last day.
Who does that?
Come on. No.
I was working like 20 hours this weekend. It was not by choice.
Oh, okay. So working at Dairy Queen, and then all of a sudden I remember this paper that I got coming up, and then it took you the last 6 hours before the deadline to finish that thing up.
Yep.
That's classic, dude. That's classic.
Hey, I've been there, man. I've literally written a paper in one night and stayed up all night doing it because I procrastinated so badly.
I am living the college experience right now.
Yeah. I don't know what's worse though. I like to like take chunks out of my paper at a time and go back and write a little bit later. And like, I don't know if it's better just to sit down and do it all at once or like to kill myself over a long week and a half of,
yeah,
chunking up a paper. I don't know what's better.
It was weird because I did 7 pages in like 3 hours, and then it took me 4 hours to do the last 3 pages. So it was the struggle. And then I finally finished at 6 a.m. and I was like, oh, yes, I'm finally done.
No, it is. It's good, though. We're getting towards the end of the first semester here in 2017, and we are excited to be almost done. We're very thankful, I guess. We should be thankful.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, what are you guys' plans for the break?
I don't know what are you doing, Christian?
Wow.
Recently married, so
hey.
At 22, making the rounds at all of the houses that we can attend. Because at like 22, it's a weird age for Thanksgiving. Like, everyone's excited to go home, but you like...
Hey, same here.
A little bit of you wants to like not have to go 35,000 different places. Just want to like chill for a couple days or
put
whatever.
Put on your sweats and watch football.
Right. So... Yeah. We're hitting about 3 to 4 to 5 houses between Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday, Friendsgiving, stoked for Friendsgiving.
Oh,
big
nice.
Friendsgiving guy.
Okay.
So, yeah. But that's my plans, just to hit every house we can and then call it good.
Seth?
Probably just chilling at home, watching football. I shouldn't be working that day, so
that'll be
a
nice change.
Is Dairy Queen even open?
They usually are. I don't think they are this year.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Shout out Dairy Queen.
Yeah, for real.
DJ, what do you got?
I'm traveling to Indiana to see my girlfriend. It'll be our first Thanksgiving together. It'll be just us,
nice.
You know. Gonna hit the casino on Wednesday, so we'll see how that goes.
Hopefully, DJ always has casino stories.
Hopefully, win some money. I'll let you guys know next week if I won or not, and then Black Friday shopping. So it should be a pretty fun weekend.
It should be. Hey, we want to thank you so much for tuning in to our special Thanksgiving weekend episode. If you want to go back and listen to other episodes we produced, you can do it at mastmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can check out, you know, everything we've ever done. Go to the sports tab, then find sports podcasts, and that's where you can find us as well as other laser sports shows. You can find it all right there. Again, it's mastmedia.pou.edu. An even better way. Yeah, that's right. I'm putting the YouTube page over Mast Media's website because you know what? I can. The YouTube page is a way better way to listen to the content that we produce. You can catch just clips and pieces of the show, and you don't have to consume the whole hour if you don't want to. I mean, we'd like you to, but you could do it on YouTube. Type in Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Get over there. You can check out some video content as well. We've been cranking out some Half Athlete tries recently.
I watched those. Those were awesome.
Did you love them, DJ?
I loved watching the punting one where you punted all of 15 yards, Christian.
Hey, don't give it away, Seth. They got to go onto YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, and that's where they can find those videos. So Seth says I wasn't very good. Other people say they really enjoyed it. So you'll have to see.
You gave it your best shot, man.
You'll have to see what's happening.
It was entertaining, though.
There you go. That's the point. If you want to call us, and we're getting ready to talk about a lot of the news that has been happening around campus recently, you can do it 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. Let's talk about kind of a pretty, I'd say, major piece of news that happened throughout the last week. On Wednesday, November 15th, 2017, Pacific Lutheran University announced the resignation of head football coach Scott Westring. Scott Westring, a member of the POU Hall of Fame, he's been involved in Lute athletics as a student athlete as well as a coach. Westring began his tenure on the coaching staff in 1981 and has been a coach for the last 14 seasons, compiling a record of 73-54, so a very successful run.
There you go.
For Scott Westring as POU football's head coach. Kind of leads you to believe, well, what's the deal? Why would he walk away? Tension, I would call it, between the athletic department and Scott Westring kind of started last year. The athletic department tweeted out a photo of a football player practice. Now on a POU football player's practice jersey, the word EMAL is written. Mm-hmm. EMAL stands for Every Man a Lute, kind of a symbol of togetherness, really wants to kind of build a team and
lifestyle.
That starts at practice, right? Mm-hmm. The department tweeted out a photo of that player in his practice jersey with what I still consider one of the worst efforts as far as Photoshop is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just kind of smeared out the word EMAL. They didn't make an effort to get rid of it. They I don't want to say they made it noticeable that it was gone, but it was very, very apparent that word was missing from that photo. And the move was made to work on the branding of POU Athletics. The department felt that the word EMAL, the term EMAL, was too inclusive. Only people who have been a part of the football program in the last 47 years, going back to when Scott Westring's father, Frosty Westring, was the head football coach, the last 47 years could kind of understand and grasp what EMAL means.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of see both sides of it as, let's get back here. When you're trying to grow a brand, having something that prohibits the understanding from the general public is a tough obstacle to overcome. You know, having someone that might not be a part of POU see EMAL and kind of go, what is that? I don't understand. And that's tough. So that's kind of where the tension began.
Mm-hmm.
And
They even had an open forum on it last year after all this came about.
Right. When people connected to the university learned of the tweet, it caused a little bit, and I don't even, a little bit's an understatement, of an uproar between, alumni and people around the university trying to figure out what it all was. I think the knee-jerk reaction was that it was an attack on EMAL and what it stood for, the character building, the togetherness. And I want to reiterate that that's not really what it was. That's not even close to what it was. I think it's ridiculous to assume that a leader would not want someone who is crafting young men to, you know, not preach the things that the Westring family has taught. I think that it was more, like I said, a branding move, trying to make everyone be able to understand what POU and what POU athletics is.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Westring kept his job after all of that. I mean, it was a lot around here. There was a lot of drama.
Yeah, got very close to Scott. We thought as a football team, us players, that he was super close. He even made the comment, if Femal goes, I go.
Right.
So we knew that tension, you know, was there, and there was a good chance that I might have a different coach my senior year.
So we fast forward to last Wednesday, and Scott Westring and POU have decided to part ways. So let's talk about it. DJ, you mentioned that last year with that drama, that tension surrounding the term Emol, you know, almost drove Scott to leave right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
He stuck it out for another year, and now he's decided, you know, I can do better things somewhere else.
Yeah, I think coming from a player's perspective, I think that he was definitely fired because of what he stood for and what he tried to establish, or his family tried to establish his program on for the last 47 years he was here. We talk about the word Emol, but it's really more than just that. You don't have to coin the phrase Emol. It can be whatever you want to call it. It's a lifestyle, and it's something that is used as a vehicle to shape young boys into young men, and it has accomplished that goal like very successfully here at PLU. Granted, Scott hasn't had the most success here in his tenure, but he sure has had the impact on young men that every coach in America would dream to have, because really that's what coaching is all about. Coaching is what you do to a player. You help him get to a place that he can't get to on his own. And that's not only on the football field, that's as a person. And Scott definitely did that. And I feel like this was very much so personal in the fact that Scott resigned, because Lori and him never saw eye to eye. And that's just a bummer.
Lori Turner, the athletic director at Pacific Lutheran University. I think that between the three of us, we might be the best group suited to talk about this incident.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being, you know, braggadocious or in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
DJ, you were a football player for the last 4 years, you know.
So obviously I'm going to have a different perspective.
I work in athletics. Yep. I understand what all the talk is surrounding the event. And then Seth is relatively new to POU. You're just in your second year.
Yep.
You don't work for athletics. You love sports, but you might just be an outsider looking in. Can you give me your thoughts, I guess, on hearing that Scott Westring has resigned and is no longer the football coach at POU?
Well, I mean, obviously it is very big news, but to DJ's point, I was actually unfamiliar with the term Emol up until this news came out in the last week. I'd seen it on, I think, your Twitter feed or maybe on a Facebook post or whatever it was, and I didn't know exactly what the term meant until somebody else commented and asked you what it was. So mm-hmm. from a branding perspective, I do understand why they may want to Photoshop that out. It's difficult to say without much insider knowledge from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. It's a lot to try and think about, because the term, the idea, the philosophy behind Emol was created long before any of us mm-hmm. were even close to being here. Way back, you know, when Scott's father, Frosty Westring, instituted that amongst his program. And Frosty is one of the most successful coaches to ever coach college football.
The ninth winningest coach in all of college football.
All of it.
Yep.
Every single level. It's tough to talk about, because I understand both sides. I understand why Scott is so firm in his beliefs,
mm-hmm.
and I also understand why the athletic department wants to create why they want to create an easier, you know, recognition or identifier with POU athletics.
Mm-hmm.
It's all tough. It's a tough deal. Long term, I think that both sides will be better from it. I think that Scott will go find another coaching job somewhere, and he will be a better coach because of it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be better from getting away from here.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. I think that POU will be, I think POU will be better in a sense that they are going to have someone who is going to want to kind of cooperate with what the university wants.
I see what you're saying there, but as a coach, like, if you're looking at this right now, why would you want to come coach here? If you look at just from a facilities point of view, because that is really what a lot of kids look at when they're, you know, getting recruited. They're all about, you know the stuff. Yeah, the flash, especially in today's culture. Maybe not so much back then.
Why'd you come here then? Why'd you come here to play football?
Because, one, there was great academics, you know, obviously.
That's not the only reason. Keep going.
You know me. You know I'm a big football guy. The football program was pretty successful. They had been to the national playoffs the last 2 years, and then, you know, just the whole concept of the tradition and the richness of that tradition here at PLU. That's what kind of drew me in. But going back to the stuff, number one, we don't have a stadium on campus. Every team in the Northwest Conference does. Our locker room has not been remodeled since, I believe, the 1970s. Everybody else in the Northwest Conference has nice facilities. And just this, there's nothing to recruit here. Scott did so much with very little, in my opinion, because I've been to all of these different schools. I've seen what they have. All of their stuff is like leaps and bounds above us.
You can't, okay, I'm going to bust you up a little bit.
That's fine.
I'm going to bust you up a little bit because you can't, I don't think you can get away with saying you came here for the tradition, but also complain that stuff isn't new enough. Because tradition lasts a long, long time, right?
Yeah.
And if those lockers aren't, you know, are the same that the players in the 70s used, that's the same part of the tradition. I mean, it's a double-edged sword when saying, you know, I came here for the tradition, but our stuff's not new. I think you came here for a bigger reason.
I guess when I say tradition, in my sense, in this context, surrounds that word or the term emo and what it has done for so many guys. So many football players have gone here and went on to become successful business members, successful husbands, successful fathers, things like that. So I guess when I'm talking about tradition, that's more so the sense. That's more though the sense I'm taking. I can totally see where you're coming from with the tradition, you know, as in stuff.
All of it.
Yeah. So I guess that's just kind of more of the point I'm taking in this context.
Well, I think where we're at with coaching as a whole, going back to, you know, you talk about the tradition of what Frosty Westring and the Westring family has stood for, mm-hmm, throughout their time.
Mm-hmm.
Frosty Westring, to a lot of people, was one of the first coaches to really, really, really focus on the character building that comes along with coaching.
And it's so unique. Like, you don't see that. You do see that at other schools, but it's not to the point of uniqueness that this place does.
Are you sure?
Like, there's not. We focus on it so much that we're willing to take 3 practices out of our fall camp in order to go to Breakaway and do something that is not bring a football at all, take everybody's phones, and just focus solely on, you know, team building exercises for 2.5 days. We're doing stuff on the beach. We are doing inner circles we split up into teams. We're talking to the young guys and explaining to them this concept of what it means, you know, to be a Loot football player here at PLU, and just the relationships that you get from that, those last even a lifetime, just based on those 2.5 days. There are not many teams in the country that take those 3 practices away from fall camp just to do that.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to disagree, because I think the point I was trying to make was that Frosty may have started it, but people have seen the success that he had, and now more people than you realize are doing the same thing.
Mm.
And I think that we're at a point where the same type of values will be used by the next person that comes, if that makes sense. It won't be taught the same way, but the values and the character building and all of that that goes with what the Westering family has done, a lot, if not all coaches, are now more aware of that than they ever have been before. So I think that where we got was people realized that if the Westering family is to depart, the next person that comes will already be aware of what they have done and do something similar. Not exactly, you know, not the same. I'm never going to say that someone's going to do this.
Yeah.
But the next person is going to be as aware as they were, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It probably will be the same to a sense. But you know, Scott was raised and played in that system, so he knows it better than anybody. And so in that sense, I don't think the new coach, yes, will try to do that, but he won't do that to the effectiveness that the Westering family was able to. I think all of this is going to come from the players who stay here, because the legacy will live on in them, and they will instill that in the younger players that come in, because the players that have played here, they know the system, they know what is expected.
It's definitely a tough deal. It's huge news. Scott Westering again resigns as POU head football coach, and the search is on to find the next person that will be the football coach here at Pacific Lutheran University. So it's strange. It's yeah. New, and it's time, I guess, for everyone to move forward and move on with what's next in their lives. We're gonna take a break right now. I don't know what's coming up next on the other side. We're gonna talk about it over the break.
I'll tell you,
you will not want to leave, because we got more great stuff coming up for you later on Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bonham, POU's half athlete. Mentally, I'm an athlete. I understand what's going on the athletic surface. Physically, though, I am just a guy. Joining us in studio, our new co-host, his name's Seth Bershing. Also in here is a former tight end of the POU football program. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, if I want to listen to this stuff, if I want to go back and be like, hey, what did we do today? I really want to hear this. Where can I hear it?
You can actually go to Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Right now we're at 79 subscribers. And I know you gave out the ultimatum. If we hit 100, we will do another bonus show. Hopefully me and Seth can join you for that one.
You bet.
Let's do it by Christmas time.
Hey, there we go. That. Nice Christmas gift for all of y'all. Like you said, we got all of our segments on there. We got video content of Christian doing Half Athlete Tries last week. The very anticipated release of the two football ones came out with the punting and then the defensive back one. So, yes, if you want to check us out, go to Half Athlete Radio on YouTube.
Absolutely. Where else can we hear it, DJ?
Mass media. Oh.
Mass media.
Sorry.
Yeah. Dude, you got it. Where? You've heard this for the last 2 years. Yeah. Where can they find it?
Massmedia.pou.edu. Yeah. Again, like Christian said, that one is not as good in our all of our opinions. That's why I kind of forgot about it. But, like, you know, Half Athlete Radio is the way to go. But if you want Plan B, massmedia.pou.edu. Again, that's massmedia.pou.edu. And then call in, because we want to hear... We want to hear your opinions on everything we're talking about. If you want to call in, the number is 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332.
I have to edit that out, dude.
If I'm correct, we're going to talk about the Huskies next?
Yeah, we can talk Huskies. What happened? Tell me what happened.
All right, so I actually got to go to the game.
Whoa, look at big baller.
Yeah. Well, free tickets.
Still big baller. You were there, dude.
Yeah, so Saturday night, the Huskies played yet another late game, 7:30 start.
Were you cold? Were you cold in the stands, DJ?
No, I wasn't cold, but I'm just pointing out that they played at 7:30 again. Right now, it doesn't matter because Stanford also won on Saturday, so UW is completely eliminated from the Pac-12 North race.
I didn't even know that.
just an interesting fact. The game was back and forth all night, and then Utah finally took a late 30-23 lead in the fourth. UW got the ball back with 2:03 to go and got a huge pass from a tight end.
Seth saw it.
Will Disley, which got them down to the 2-yard line, and UW was able to score and make the extra point. That ties it up at 30-30. With 58 seconds to go, UW kicked the ball off, and our defense got a 3-and-out, which was very clutch. We got the ball back, 28 seconds to go, and I'm thinking in the stands, I'm like, okay, we'll run this out, we'll go to overtime. They did run on first down, but Utah called a timeout, and in Chris Peterson's presser, he said they were going to run it and just see what happened. If they got a big gain, then maybe take a shot. If not, then just, you know, run it out and go to overtime. But then Utah called that timeout, and so Chris Peterson decided, hey, let's go for it. Let's see what we can do. And Browning found Bocelli, I think that's how it's pronounced, for a 31-yard gain, which set up a Viscano game-winning field goal from 38 yards out, which was a very big confidence booster for Viscano. Kickers in the Pacific Northwest have not had the greatest of seasons this year.
More on that later.
Yeah. Browning was named the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week, going 26-35, 354 yards and 2 TDs. I am still in the mindset.
But he's not that good, though.
I'm still in the mindset.
I was going to bring that up, DJ.
Yeah. I'm still in the mindset that you still open up the competition. This was Browning's first game that he came from behind in the fourth quarter to win. And that's in his junior year. That's in three years of being the starter for UW.
Has he ever had to? Like, how many has he had to come
back?
There's
been 12 opportunities.
12 chances for come from behind wins.
Yes.
And he's only done, okay. Well, I didn't think there were that many.
No.
But yeah, that's a couple.
I can credit that stat to Dave Softy Muller.
Oh, there you go. A close personal friend of yours, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Very. I shook his hand 2 weeks ago.
Really?
He doesn't know who I am, but I shook his hand.
Well, anyways, he has had one come from behind win in his 12 chances. I just want to, you know, open up the floor to you guys. What did you guys think? Was it more so UW just not playing very well and making lots of mental mistakes? Or was it just, you know, Utah bringing it?
Seth, you talk on it because I didn't see very much of this game.
I didn't see all of it, and I actually have to confess something here. I was pretty frustrated watching the offense struggle in the second and third quarter. And the defense, too. They gave up 410 yards
definitely.
For the game. I got so frustrated to the point that I stopped watching the last, like, 3 or 4 minutes of the game. So I actually missed the come-from-behind win.
Hey, that's fair.
You got mad and shut the TV off? Is that what you're confessing right now?
Yep.
Wow. Dude. I'm more upset at Seth than anything right now. What did you give up on it for?
They were playing horribly. Utah had the ball with a couple minutes left. I was thinking Utah gets like one or two first downs, it's over.
It's never over till the fat lady sings.
Yeah.
Yep. Lesson learned.
Twitter blew up over that timeout that Utah took there.
Yeah, I don't.
They
know.
Were like, what in?
I don't know what whatever. I don't know what they were thinking, because even if you do, I think they had all three timeouts. So even if you get the ball back with like 15 seconds to go. Yes, UW had been giving up big plays, but I mean, UW's still a pretty good defense, and I don't know if you're gonna.
You want me to? Because I can. Because like 2 weeks ago, this was the best defense in the nation.
Number one.
The best. And now we're sitting here 2 weeks later talking about how they gave up 30 points in back-to-back games.
Yeah, they've had a couple bad games.
I think. Just a couple.
A lot of injuries.
Oh, my goodness. I think what we're finally getting at is to seeing what the University of Washington Huskies, the 2017 version of this football team, truly is in a pretty competitive Pac-12 with the game to Stanford last week, a better team, but a good team in Utah this week. Two good teams in a row. And now the Apple Cup coming up on Saturday. Another good team in the Pac-12. I think they definitely weren't as good as last year, but still a pretty solid football team.
I mean, yeah, you're going to have an opportunity to win 10 games for the only the second time since... Oh, second...
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, and I mean... I don't know. We'll see going forward. I think they were very young this year, losing Chico early on. It was a building year, and I'm still, even though I am disappointed that we're not going to be competing for a Pac-12 title, you still have a 10-win season. You're going to play in a decent bowl game against a decent team, more growing and learning experience with that extra practice. So I mean, I am a little disappointed, but like not at the same time because you're still winning 10 games.
Yeah, I think. No, I think that this is like I said, this is what the Huskies were this year. Mm-hmm. Next year, they could be better. They could be. We don't know yet.
We haven't
even thought about next year yet. But I think that it took us really long to get to the point where we can go, okay, they're a pretty decent team. They're not a top four team. They'll hang around the top 10. But it took a long time for us to get to this point.
I know it took a long time for me because I was making a case of why they should be in the playoff year week after week
right.
on this show and saying how good they were. And then they just kind of said, nah, Deej, we're not that good. We're just going to go and lose to Stanford and Arizona State. But like you said, it's a good season. One interesting note is that Jacob Eason, the quarterback from Georgia, who was a five-star recruit, obviously he got beat out by Jake Fromm down there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are rumors starting to swirl that he is going to transfer back to his hometown collegiate team, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And does that make a case for opening up the quarterback competition?
No.
No?
No.
Not at all?
Why? Why?
Probably not.
DJ just wants there to be some drama over there. No, dude. Four-year starter and Jake Browning. Why? I mean, why? Why? If it ain't broke, don't break it. Why? Why would you?
who said,
for newness' sake?
Who said it's... not broke.
Nothing's wrong with it. Let's change it.
I don't know. I'm still in the mindset that I haven't been impressed with Jake Browning this year. He got sacked again because he was running around in the pocket. There was a couple plays this game where he was just running around in the pocket, wandering aimlessly and not throwing the ball away and taking a huge sack. That's a big momentum changer. Even if it's a turnover on downs, you're still taking a sack. Your defense gets fired up, that's a big momentum change. And I think he's causing him too much loss of momentum at this point.
One thing I will say watching Jake Browning is he just looks a little slow out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like it takes him just a little bit longer to process everything that the defense is throwing at him.
Yeah.
Slow.
And then by the time he actually makes that decision, he doesn't have the arm strength to fit it in those tight windows.
Did you say he won Pac-12 Player of the Week this week?
Oh, big whoop.
Wow. He's gonna have a Pac-12 Player of the Week worthy performance, and we're gonna talk about a couple plays where he was running around and he got tackled.
Imagine,
like a football player would.
Imagine if he didn't get that because on the the drive right before they went into score, there was a third down and 15 where he just overthrew Pettis. He had Pettis wide open and just chucked it right over him. And there, I may be wrong, but I think I did hear some boos in the stadium. So,
well, we should hit a break because we've been going long all day long. We don't care. We're here four today for no reason other than we just wanted to do a show. So we'll go long whenever we want, right, guys?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yo, we got to talk about Seahawks when we come back. They played last night and they lost.
Maybe they should draft Drake Browning.
Wow, here we go. We got to take a break. We got to regroup. Don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Seth Bershing. I'm a half athlete here at PLU. I'm joined in studio by another half athlete. He is the half athlete of PLU. His name is Christian Bond.
King.
Also in studio today, we have the former PLU football tight end. His name is DJ Winters.
Yeah, he is.
If you like what you're listening to and you want to hear more of it, you can find the show at massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu.
Nice.
Or you can go to our YouTube page, which apparently is the best way to hear us. Is that true, guys?
I think it's one of the better ways. If not live, if you're not gonna listen to
it
live,
you said it was the best way.
If you're not gonna listen to it live, dude, there's a lot of stuff. Not a lot. There's some stuff I'm gonna cut out of today's show.
No, that's fine.
Like, if you're gonna listen to us live. But if you can't, YouTube is a pretty snazzy way to listen to this radio show.
All right, you've heard it here. So go to our YouTube page, which is Half Athlete Radio. We are trying to get to 100 subscribers, so help us do that. We want to do it by Christmas time.
Yeah.
It's a steep goal, but we can do it.
Yeah.
If you want to call into the show, the number to do that is 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332.
Call us.
All right, so the Seahawks, they did lose yesterday. They were trailing the Falcons 34-23 with several minutes left in the game. Seattle drove down the field and scored a much-needed touchdown and the two-point conversion to close the gap to 3 points. Atlanta had the ball deep in their own territory, tried to run out the clock. Seahawks came up with a clutch sack on third down, forced Atlanta to punt the ball with just under 2 minutes to go. Seattle drove down the field just enough to get to set up a Blair Walsh field goal attempt from 52 yards. Walsh's kick was right down the middle, but felt less than a yard short of the goalpost.
Tough deal.
What did you guys think watching this game?
Christian, take it away.
You want me to have it? Yeah. All right. There's a lot that I thought of the game. What stuck out? Thank you, DJ. What stuck out the most was
Stuck.
The defense. They played well, and you're gonna be like, Christian, they gave up 34 points. You're dumb. No, I'm not. First of all,
technically, they only gave up 27 because one of those was a sack.
Right.
To a touchy.
They had a couple of turnovers. Seahawks turned the ball over a couple times. Early.
Not Seahawks, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson by... Oh, look at that. He's going to place the blame right on one guy.
The quarterback.
Not one team, one guy.
Over there.
Russell Wilson turned the ball over a couple of times. And that led to some easy points for the Atlanta Falcons. And with a defense as banged up as it was, for them to keep the Seahawks in the game against an offense that hasn't been what they have been in the past, but are still incredibly dangerous with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and all the other weapons that Matt Ryan has to throw to. I believe they held Matt Ryan to under 200 yards passing. It was a good performance with a not great outcome for the Seahawks defense. That stood out to me the most, and then a couple other things. But DJ, I'll let you go. I liked what the defense did. It wasn't as bad as we all could have assumed without Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and guys like that.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. He did only have 195 passing yards. So,
dang.
And we did only hold him to 27 points because of that, you know, sack that turned into a touchdown.
Right.
Well, and really 20, because another one of those was the Russell Wilson interception, which put Atlanta at what, the 10 yard line?
That's true.
There you go. 20 points against that. Come on. That's a good performance defense. Seahawks lost, but hey, good job. Good job, guys.
I mean, I was overall happy with the game. Christian's laughing in here.
I'm dying at myself.
Yeah, good job, Seahawks. I was happy with the game. I mean, not happy with the outcome.
Whoops. Yeah.
The outcome, but, you know, this is how the games are going to be from here on out. No game is going to be easy, with the exception of maybe the 49ers, because they are just too bad right now. Did you see the locker room after they celebrated their first win? I know this is off topic. Christian's going to kill me for this. But
no, I did say that. It was funny. So acted like they won the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
There was people throwing water everywhere. So, you know, when you're celebrating one win, you're not very good. So, But getting back to this game, I wasn't able to watch it because I was out helping the world get better by delivering pizza.
Yeah.
But I was listening to it on the radio, and something, you know, Steve Rabel just kept saying, the Falcons were 6-for-8 on third downs, and we had 2 pass interference calls. Both were close to 40 yards, I believe, what Pete Carroll said. And he said that's just like a big bomb thrown on. So even without those plays, you're probably looking at less points. And this has been a trend. I know Seth has been big on this. It's been penalties after penalties after penalties, week in and week out. And I'm to the point now where it's becoming a trend, and it's not a good trend. And it's putting us in bad situations, and we're paying for it in the win-loss column.
And I was going to bring that up, DJ, mostly because, well, again, they had 9 penalties for 106 yards.
Yeah.
But when the defense got that sack and forced Atlanta to punt, there was a holding on the punt return, which backed the Seahawks up 10 yards. You think about 10 yards, Blair Walsh's kick was a half a yard short.
There you go. Now you're thinking, Seth. That's good stuff right there.
Yeah. Potentially, that one penalty cost you the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that is 100% true.
Hey, if you're listening to us, give us a call. Give us your thoughts on the Seahawks game last night. They lost 34-31 to the Atlanta Falcons. Call us, 253-535-7332. Once again, our phone number is 253-535-7332. You mentioned Blair Walsh and a field goal. At the end of the first half, the Seahawks had a chance to get 3 points.
Oh, my goodness.
And DJ's already groaning because he knows what I'm talking about. For whatever reason, the Seahawks chose to run a fake field goal play that was...
when the defense was on the field.
...demolished by the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, they had that thing snuffed out. Do you guys have a problem with that that fake field goal try?
Yes, I do, because that cost you 3 points.
It did.
And the defense is on the field. If you are a professional football player and you cannot realize that the defense is on the field, audible out, you have your kicking team on there, audible out and just kick the dang field goal, and then now we're looking at a tie game going into those last couple of minutes.
Well, it just didn't make sense. It was like a short yardage pass play that they ran too. Were they really expecting Luke Wilson to break that for a touchdown?
Yeah.
Because if not, why are you running that play?
I know this feeling all too well, because at PLU, we kind of struggled with our field goals this year, and there was games where we had a couple points left on the board that would have put us in a better position late in the game. And that is just all a feeling that is just all too familiar for me.
I gotta interrupt this because we do have a caller. If you listen to Laser regularly, you recognize this voice. This is Heina.
What's up, baby?
Sports. Heina,
hey, what's up, guys?
Wants to talk about Russell Wilson. Heina, what'd you want to say, man?
All right, so I know everyone's talking about the MVP, Carson Wentz, and how he's going to write him off for MVP, but as I was watching the game last night, I'm pretty sure Russell Wilson's their leading rusher, the team's leading rusher.
Yeah. 82 yards last night.
He has a bunch of injuries on his team, on defense and offensively, and he keeps them around. I was looking at fantasy football. He's the number one quarterback in fantasy. Do you guys think he has a chance, if the Seahawks make playoffs, to be MVP?
Hey, first off, Heina, thank you. You know, beast mode, I'm a cheat code.
Yep.
that's a little saying me and Heina had throughout the season. But anyways... I totally think he has the case to be MVP. If you take Russell Wilson off of the Seahawks and put Austin Davis in there, like just your average Joe quarterback, the Seahawks are not going to do what they have been doing, because Russell Wilson is able to make plays on the fly with his legs and his arm.
The guy's crazy, and he's dating Sierra, so that's a plus.
Actually, he's actually married now.
Oh, Mary, Mom.
Hey, you can still date when you're married. Trust me. Heina, thank you so much for calling in.
You.
We're going to let you go, man.
Thank you.
All right. Heina calls in, talks about Russell Wilson. He mentions the rushing game and how it is just Russell Wilson. I want to pitch that question to you guys as well. You have a problem with Russell Wilson being the team's leading rusher? If so, why or why not?
I don't think it's really anybody's fault. To some extent, it's just been the amount of injuries that they've had. I mean, Rawls and Procise, Carson, have all been in and out with injuries this year. We all know Eddie Lacy can't run. yesterday, three rushes,
two yards.
No, he's incapable of running.
Okay.
He gets to the hole, and then he stops for a taco or two on the way.
Wow.
I did like McKissick and Davis yesterday.
Yes,
Davis. They looked fresh.
Yes. We have subpar running backs, with the exception of Davis. McKissick is, you know, a little third down scat back. But Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls, you know, I'm done with them. Yes, they had a glimpse. Well, Rawls, more specifically, had a glimpse of greatness in 2015. But we can't, you know, you can't hang on to glimpses. Those aren't going to do anything for you in the future. You can't just keep banking on that. He's going to come through for you eventually. He hasn't, and I think it's time to move on from Rawls and Lacy. And, you know, I know Mike Davis got hurt, but I'm convinced. They even brought this up in the broadcast. I'm convinced that it's not the offensive line anymore. It is.
Ooh. I think it is to an extent.
This is going a different direction. Keep going.
It is, but Mike Davis came in there, and the offense, you could just sense it. I got to, because I recorded the game, so I got to see a little bit. But in that first half, you saw just a different energy with the offense and Mike Davis back there. It was a nice changeup from Rawls and Lacy, which is what we're accustomed to seeing.
He just looked more explosive than the backs that they've had there.
Even Carson looked way different than Rawls and Lacy at the beginning of the season.
You guys mad that Russell Wilson's leading the team in rushing or not? You guys dodged the question. You started talking about running backs.
Sorry, I'm not upset, because that's just the way we have to produce right now. And if we're producing, you can't argue with the fact that if you're winning games and Russell Wilson is your leading rusher, why are you going to complain about that? Do you care more about wins or stats? It just comes down to that question for me.
There you go. Look at that. All right, Seth, would you have something to add to that?
I'd agree with you, DJ. As long as they're getting yards on the ground, I don't really care who it is.
Yeah.
Throw a guy out there, even if it's Eddie Lacy. I mean, that's not going to happen, but if it were to happen...
He's busy at the taco truck.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are too much right now.
Regardless of who you send out there, I don't care, as long as we're getting 3 or 4 yards every play.
Yeah.
You nervous Russell Wilson's going to get hurt running the ball?
Yeah, I mean, that...
Come on.
What?
No. There was one hit he took that was like, oh, that probably didn't feel nice. All the rest of them... Dude slid down safe every single time. That hit he took on the sideline, diving to get a first down, no worse than any hit he would take throwing the ball. I mean, this is not...
No,
I'm fine with it.
No.
It's also what I'm getting at. So,
no, I'm fine with him rushing, but it's just, you know, it's common sense that if you run more, you are more apt to get hit, even if you are sliding. We saw with the Kiko Alonso one, you know, Flacco pushed it to that first down marker, and Alonso laid him out and gave him a concussion. You're just more apt to get hit when you're outside the pocket. You're not a defenseless, you're not a quarterback anymore. You become a running back pretty much at that point.
Again, we are recapping last night's football game between the Seahawks and the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons came away with a 34-31 win over the Seahawks at CenturyLink. So that's two games in a row now that the Seahawks have lost at home.
By 3 points.
Whoa,
yep.
Man.
It's only the second time in Russell Wilson's career that the Hawks have lost two straight games at home.
Y'all have any other takeaways? We talked about how the defense, you know, banged up, but they played well. I mean, when you take all things considered, they played well. What else we talked about? I forgot the middle. I was answering a phone call.
I mean, right now we're fighting for our playoff lives, and you know, the division is only one game away. Wild cards is only one game away right now, so it's just going to be an interesting, you know, finish as we come down to these last couple games.
Yeah.
We don't got easy ones. We have to go to Dallas. We have Philadelphia at home. So, I mean, and we've seen the 12s were great last night, but home field advantage is we haven't seen it the last two games.
It means less when your team's not as good.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I mean, the team.
I like that point, Christian.
The Seahawks. Seahawks aren't as great right now. I mean, this is...
No, yeah. And one of the facts that they're not that great is because I believe that the injuries are taking a toll. Cam might not play another down of football in his career with what they're talking about right now. And Sherman is gone for the season. So they're going to have to find ways to be creative. That's my word for this season is creative. Creative winning. Creative ways to win.
We got someone who may be a little creative right now on the line. This is Jonah from off campus.
Hey, Jonah.
Jonah, what do you have to say about the Seahawks' performance last night?
You know, I would like to comment on how you're talking about Russell Wilson getting injured.
Yeah.
If the dude can get hit and get his jaw realigned and just, like, bounce out for one play, skip concussion protocol, and then hop right back in, like, this dude kind of seems invincible. And, like, when we give him space to run the football and he can get 10, 15 yards, like, every play, just go ahead and do it. Space everyone out. Give him some space. Let him run.
Another guy not mad that Russell Wilson is running the football. Jonah, thank you so much for calling in this afternoon.
Yeah, man. And I would also like to comment on Blair Walsh. You guys never got to that.
We would love to hear
it. What do you want to know about Blair Walsh?
He missed a 52-yarder, and, you know, that is a bomb. It is a bomb, really. And they let go of Steven Hauschka. And I looked up his stats today, and Steven Hauschka is 11 for 12. On field goals over 50 yards.
Dang.
So if you pay him and you keep him, you probably have an easy made field goal at 52 with Hauschka. So that'd have been a tie ball game. And you probably wouldn't have run a fake field goal with Hauschka there because he's pretty much money. So
you sad about your ex kicker right now, Jonah?
Yeah,
from off
a
campus?
Bit.
Where's our sad music that we have to queue up?
I would have played it if I'd have known he was going to say that. Jonah, thanks. Thanks for pushing your time on air and making sure to get that that last bit in. Thank you so much for calling in this afternoon, Jonah. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Great show, guys. Love it.
Thank you. That's a great point. I mean, losing the Blair Walsh project has not worked out, in my opinion, this year.
You only get so much money you got to use.
Yeah, that's true.
He's been a solid kicker. Blair Walsh has been solid.
No, he has.
52 is a lot to ask for. And Seth already talked about it. Seth, you talked about that last punt. The holding on the punt moved the team 10 yards backwards before starting the game. I mean, putting two and two together like Seth did right there was just excellent. Excellent work from Seth. You know, you get to start 10 yards closer. Does he make a 42-yarder?
Yes.
Probably. He probably hits that 42-yarder.
Viscano out there. I want to see what Viscano is going to
open up the competition.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all for competition. It pushes people, man.
Oh, what a time we've had here today. Oh, I don't know what else we got. You guys got anything else about the Seahawks game last night?
Go You're Hawks, baby. See?
I'm not playing that game, dude. I'm not doing that.
Come on.
That Seahawks chant. Okay, now you got me going. Seahawks chant in inappropriate places is like the thing I might
like at Mariners games when you're walking.
Yeah, the Mariners game or the mall on like a Thursday. Like, why do people do that here? It's not needed.
I don't know. I think you have some dumb Hawks fans, in my opinion.
Ooh,
that
there you
jumped
go.
On the bandwagon.
I hope none of those dumb Hawk fans are listening right now.
Well, hey, if they have a problem, you can tweet at me, DJWinter87 on Twitter. But I think the Hawks have very passionate fans, but are sometimes blinded by the success that we've had. They hopped on that bandwagon in 2014 when we won our Super Bowl.
You know, maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Seth, you got anything else to add?
Just this, with their last six games being Niners, Eagles, Jaguars, Rams, Cowboys, Cardinals, they have to win at least four of the next six if they're even in contention for the playoffs with the way the NFC is looking this year.
So 10-6 then is the mark?
10-6, if not 11-5.
Okay.
I don't know that they get there.
Say those one more time.
49ers, Eagles, Jaguars, Rams, Cowboys, Cardinals.
That is a pretty tough stretch.
Yeah,
we may be talking about the Hawks missing the playoffs.
It'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta go ahead and wrap this thing up. Thank you so much for listening to us this afternoon. It was a fun show. We had a lot of news happen over the week, and we're ready to kick back and relax over this Thanksgiving break. So for DJ Winter and Seth Bershing, my name is Christian Bond. We're out of here. See ya.
Woo.